Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, and you're listening to Carpe Diem, Dr. Lorraine Goodwin. It is June 2nd. It's about 2 a.m., only 30 minutes. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about our election that's going on, and I find it refreshing that so many people are interested in the election. I have in the past worked in politics, and I find the major problem is huge disinterest in politicians. People run away from political issues. They just want to go to Walmart, go to the stores, purchase normal things, and they really don't want to get involved in elections. And to see so many people talking about this election, involved in this election, having a real opinion, finding out a bit about the candidate, and it's because Donald Trump has turned this election into more like a people are, he's calling people stupid, he's calling them scoundrels, he's called them sleazeballs, things, and he'll just say it to anybody who asks a question that he doesn't like, they'll call them a sleazeball. Now, you can do that in a private company, but it really doesn't work in politics, you know, where you really have to deal and like a huge variety of people in order to work well in politics and, of course, abroad. Well, Donald Trump has huge history of working with people abroad, so I know he knows how to do that, and I know he knows a lot of people in various countries, and I know he associates with people who can speak these various languages and negotiate and get things done, and he's used to working with foreign currencies and traveling abroad and so forth. I think he travels abroad. Because his hotels and stuff are so big, I'm sure he has to go out and actually hit this pavement. Of course, he does deal with the mafia, too. You can't do big business in New York, especially in real estate, and not be dealing with a lot of mafia people. So I don't know anything about his mafia connections or any problems he might have because he does have mafia connections. But that's something, you know, for us to consider. But most of these politicians probably do. It's just more evident when you're talking about real estate in New York. It's just a very, very common thing for the mafia to be involved in what's going on. But it's really nice to have this interaction, to have people who normally, especially kids, you know, you see all the kids in the school, they're taking sides, they're defending their candidate choice. They're seeing the good and bad of elections. They're seeing proper and improper behavior. Really works well. Now, Donald Trump is not really new to the political scene. He's been thinking about running for president for many years, although he never held a prior elected office. I've never heard him talk about running for Senate or running for running for the House or mayor or anything like that. He's always going straight to the top. He's wanted to be president, but I've never heard him wanting to be in any other office. This goes back to, over 16 years. You know, he's been involved with the candidate. So, what the news media tells us makes it look like Donald Trump, just decided to do this now and really hasn't been working on this for a while. But he has been working on this for a while and has tested the waters and has gone to different parties and has, he's more of a centrist. He's not really Republican. He's not really Democrat. He's somewhere in the middle. And that's why neither party really likes him. He's a threat to the established political party system, and America has become very used to saying you have to be Republican or Democrat. You have to throw yourself into one of these piles. If you're independent, for many years you were seen as not counting at all. Now that so many people are independent, of the parties realize, hey, they have to go after independents too, because independents can make a big difference in an election, because they'll eventually vote, although they used to lock them out of primaries. Now, in California, we allowed the independents to come in because we changed our primary system so that everybody can vote in a primary. So the independents are pulling more power in California, but that's not true in every state. But he is a big threat for the Democrats and Republicans, for the entrenched politicians who've been there for many, many years, who've thrown their lives into these political parties, who've become very close to lobbyists, who've made lots of deals to keep them in office. They don't want just anybody coming in. They don't want the average Joe to be able to say, you know, hey, I can do that job. And I'm opening up the party lines, being known and being quote-unquote chosen for a party job. You know, they don't want the average Joe coming in. Donald Trump, though he's not the average Joe, is seen as a leader towards having that come into the future. And that would be something definitely the political parties would not want to happen. So that's one of the reasons you're seeing both sides fight against Donald Trump. Republicans don't want him, Democrats don't want him, because, hey, how did he get here? He's not one of our inbred guys. You know, they had their guys they thought were going to win, and they didn't feel Trump was going to be a problem. They thought Jeb Bush would probably win out. He has the Bush name. We've been knowing George H.W. Bush for generations. He's been around forever in high office in the Republican Party, and then, of course, as vice president and as president and having his son, George, come in as president, who he worked with H.W.'s good friend Cheney and got the Muslim war started when they're over there fighting for oil. Where is Dick Cheney? What happened to Dick? You know, he was always dying when he was in office as vice president. Now he seems to have disappeared. I don't think he died. I haven't heard any news that he died. But that would be interesting to find out what happened to Dick Cheney. He is one person who's probably helped people with heart problems the most, because they tend to keep that man alive no matter how bad his health. He looks terrible, but yet they can still keep Dick Cheney alive. Miraculous. But don't you expect that care, because he will get a special level of care that you will never see. If you get as sick as Dick Cheney, you're going to die. So anyway, it's just absolutely great to have finally elections where people are participating and who know the candidates and who are involved. And I hope to see a lot of young people get into politics, but not as career politicians, which is, I think, where we went wrong. People now, they get into politics, they go in as a career, they start when they're young, they run for this office, that office, they keep leading up to a higher office, finally they're in to a big office. By that time, they're entrenched, they're so jaded by the whole process, and they have so many connections of people that they owe favors to. Our elections are hugely costly because now the corporations can put in unlimited amounts of money. If you're an individual, you're limited as to how much money you can give over a certain period of time. As a corporation, as a PAC, you can give unlimited amounts of money to your candidate. And so that means if the average Joe wants to come in and run for an election, guess what? You can't afford it, because the people who are entrenched have already brown-nosed themselves into getting connected with PACs, and those PACs are going to give them millions of dollars just because they're running again, you know, and that they're going to get favors. And that's all been promised. And that's the way our system is. It's not a very good system, and it's a shame that this is a system we're trying to push on other countries. We try to tell them that the election system works when it doesn't work. It hasn't worked for us for a long time, but nobody wants to face it, and we're all taught in school from the time we're teeny toddlers that this is the best system, that it works, this is the perfect system, but it's not. We've got a lot of problems with our system. Bernie Sanders is quite a character. He's coming in, he's getting a huge youth vote because he's promising them free school. Well, that's not going to happen. But free school would certainly make school less valuable. If everybody goes to college, if everybody goes from 12th grade and then goes into college and comes out with a degree, well, you might as well call that 12th grade because that's where everybody goes. People who are going to excel are then going to go to an additional school. You're never going to be able to get everybody up to an equal playing field. A lot of people just waste their time in college. If you don't know what you're doing, you're not motivated. If you're going there just to get a job, I say go get the job, get some technical training, learn what you're doing, learn your job well. And then when you get motivated, when you know what you're doing, go get a degree full time. Or if you don't know, get your degree part-time. I mean, there is no magic to getting a four-year degree in 4 years. You can get a four-year degree in 8 years. And you can get your, in the meantime, be earning, making a living. You know, a lot of people have kids. They can't afford to sit in classes from morning and study all night. So you have to adapt. And I think we are sending the wrong message that everybody should go to college, because it just diminishes the value of college for everybody, and it just means even longer of going to school, which I think we already waste too much time in school anyway. I have more nonsense that I had to learn to pass exams in school, which I never use. And my poor brain is cluttered with all kinds of things that I'll never use, but were made up as curriculums that I've had to do in order to get a degree. But I think if we really think things out, cut out the nonsense for everyone, doesn't have to do everything, get the programs more tapered to fit what people want to do with their lives. We have shorter times in school, more times being productive in your job, and get on with life. And just get on with life. The other thing I want to mention about this, you know, people are talking about Trump, you know, being a phony because he has Trump University and people aren't doing well. I think this is going to be valuable for all people because there's so many fake schools and universities. I know in my little town we have a whole bunch of them. They come in, they promise, you know, you come in to this school, you'll learn blah, 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 and in two years, you'll have a certificate, and they say you'll have a job, and they show people happily, you know, pictures of people happily working somewhere. But that's not true. You know, most of those people aren't going to finish the curriculum, or when they get out, they're not going to have a job. But they have other problems, you know. And if they allow people to tell Trump University that Trump University is phony because they didn't learn what they were supposed to learn, and when they got out of school, they didn't get ahead like they thought they were supposed to get ahead. Well, students are going to sue all the schools, because all the schools, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, Rice, they charge these huge, huge amounts of money for the degree, but most of those students aren't going to be real successful in their careers. A lot of those students are going to come out and they're not going to be able to find jobs. They're going to be finding jobs in fields that they aren't trained for. They're going to be unhappy with what they learned. and they're going to, now they don't say anything. But if this whole thing with Trump goes through, I can assure you the students more and more will come back to all these schools and start saying, I want my money back. No, I didn't get what you promised me from the school. And I think that's a good thing. Law school is one of those places. A lot of people go to law school thinking they're going to get a job, they're going to get a good salary, they're going to have a very enriched lifestyle, and then they get into law school, study hard, do well, get out, find there is no job, there is no job security, they may not get the pay scale they want, but a lot of them just don't get jobs. A lot of them just can't find jobs. And I think it's going to make a big difference for all of these schools that promise an education, medical school, law school, you name it. People will be coming back and saying, hey, I didn't get what you promised me. This is what you promised me. This is the picture I saw. This is not what I got. I got something that I could have gotten without this degree. And I think that's a good thing because I see so many people scammed out of lots and lots of money going to these what I call phony schools. And schools, the prices are just too high anyway. Those people that are presidents, chancellors, and so forth, making millions of dollars, plus huge benefits. You know, they get homes on the property, they get servants. A lot of times they have students serving them in their home. They get all kinds of benefits and salaries and bonuses and airplanes, other compensation, way too much. And then this is all paid for by students. It's paid by federal grants and so forth. It all needs to be investigated, and I think all school prices need to be lowered. Everybody's getting ripped off. And that's been that way for a while. Should it cost that much, really, to go get a bachelor's degree? Just a routine bachelor's degree. You're not even going to get anything special. And if everybody goes on to college, everybody will have a bachelor's degree. So it's even going to be less special. When I was a kid, if you had a bachelor's degree, that was really a big deal because nobody was getting a bachelor's degree. But you had a much better chance of getting a job or getting a pay, some sort of job with a pay increase. But now it's getting less and less like that. You see all sorts of people. And a lot of people just to kill time. You know, they want to date. They want to just be kids for a bit longer. And today we had somebody who killed a professor at UCLA. And a lot of times those people that are doing those things, I don't know anything about this thing. They haven't released any information yet. But a lot of times those are grad students who find that they are being held back, they feel, or they're being worked out against by someone who's in a position of power. For some reason, that person, they feel, isn't allowing them to get their doctorate or whatever degree they're working on. It'll be interesting to find out what happened and why exactly that professor was killed. But you know, the pressure of money, the pressure of time, the disappointment. I wish I had a computer when I was in school. Boy, would have made my life so much easier. But I didn't. I didn't. The luxury of a computer. It would be interesting to know how my life would have been different if I had had the ability to has some of this technology that tends to speed up your work, that makes things go a little bit easier, an extra memory, so to speak. Well, I'll never know what that would have been like, but I thought about that quite a few times. And wondering what's it like for the students now. Are they having an easier time? Or have they just raised the standard so that even with a computer, they put other barriers in front of you? It's hard to know. I don't know, but the computer certainly does make life a whole lot better. That's for sure. Okay, let me check here, see what, how we're doing time-wise. I guess Rush Limbaugh is enjoying this election. You know, Rush Limbaugh became famous. He developed his career on the Clintons. When Bill Clinton became president, Rush Limbaugh started his talk show, and he would do all kinds of skits and stuff with Hillary, and everybody thought it was cute and funny. And so he gained a great audience. He was fun to listen to, even if you didn't agree with him. And he was novel. Nobody was doing that at that time. But now, of course, a lot of people do it, and Rush Limbaugh has been brought down because of his, you know, drug abuse. He was always saying how, talking about other people negatively, and then all of his skeletons started coming out of the closet. All of the deals he made for self-enrichment. But it's like going back to that period when we had the Clintons in the White House before, and all the old garbage is being brought up again. Valid. It's valid, certainly. We really don't want to go back there. We want to advance. We want to see how you're going to do with things in the future. We want future questions answered. We want a new, fresh outlook on things. The libertarians have a candidate who they think is a good person who might be a choice if you don't like Hillary and you don't like Donald Trump. That'll be interesting because I don't know anything about that person. So stay tuned. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Monica Lewinsky. They're bringing her out. The girl just is trying to, you know, get on with her life after, you know, giving oral sex to Bill Clinton when he was president. We'll see what happens with Ivanka Trump. She has a business. She does all of her business in China. So that's an interesting scenario. You see, the first wife of Donald Trump, Ivana Trump, I think she's back somewhere in Czechoslovakia or someplace, living well, high on the hog. She was a nice lady, from what I saw. But, of course, she was a, you know, rich, snobbish lady, but she seemed very nice. And then Melania, you know, how is she going to do in the future? And we'll have yet to see that. Bill Clinton doesn't look good. You know, he's very thin, very pale. Of course, he's always been thin and had that ruddy, you know, pale skin and red cheeks and stuff. But I think Bernie should stay in the race. You know, you never know what's going to happen to Hillary. You don't know whether she's going to have health problems or legal problems or what's going to go on. And if something happens to Hillary, Bernie would slide right in as the candidate for the Democrats because he has won quite a few state elections and he is popular. And people will have to decide whether or not they would vote for Bernie. So I think Bernie, he has a following. Hillary has some question marks. And I think he should stay in until the last minute and talking about issues. But I want him to talk about real issues, and I don't want him to just keep slamming Hillary for, you know, the fact she gets a lot of money for speaking. That's just part of what happens when you become first lady and then people want you to speak. You can ask for a lot of money, and they've always done it. Ronald Reagan, as soon as he left the White House, he was speaking in all kinds of foreign countries for huge amounts of money. So that's just normal, and the fact that Bernie Sanders was picking it up on Hillary is crazy because everybody has done it forever. And it's just what happened. And Bernie would do the same thing. You know, Bernie has this double side. He talks about, you know, the negative things with Hillary, but he wants to go into that world himself. You can see it in his eyes. That's where he wants to go. And so I don't believe anything he really says. Okay, well, I'm pretty much done for today, and I'm going to say bye-bye. I will talk to you later, and have a great night. I hope you're with those who you love and those who love you, and that your life is going fabulously. Take care, and bye-bye.